time to warm your hearts with that shaft of golden light that comes down from the skies every Monday morning at 7:34 or so, and that is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Morning, Arthur.
Yeah, forget your troubles.
That's right.
Come on, get fat.
That's right. Hey, you know what? Fat isn't all that bad.
No, it isn't. There's two fat men. We can say that.
That's right.
You know, I had a laugh. I was at a doctor recently, and he said, well, you could lose weight. I said, I can.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, I could. I also could hit the lottery.
I'm not sure I can at this point.
I know. When my doctor says that to me, I always say to him, I can hit the lottery as well.
Exactly. You know, I'm already resigned to never being thin again.
You know,
I like to say I was thin, but it wasn't that interesting.
I'll get it this way. I'm 66, and thin is in the rearview mirror.
Exactly. Well, and I'm a lot older. Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about this because it's healthy necessarily, but I am really into pork lately, and for several reasons. One, beef has become very disappointing. Supermarket meat is forget. Every once in a blue moon, I buy something in the supermarket and I say never again, but then I do it again, of course, which I did recently. I didn't. I bought supposedly nice beef at a butcher shop at my very reliable butcher, and his meat is a lot better than in the supermarket, but still, I don't know. And then I go to the supermarket and I look in the meat case to see if there's anything that strikes me as edible. And sometimes I see incredible-looking pork, and it's so cheap, I can't resist it. So the other day, for instance, now I'm open to all cuts of pork, except I don't usually like center-cut roasts or pork chops. I prefer what they call rib end, which has some darker, better marbled, I think more flavorful meat. However, in the other day, there were these four pork chops, about, I would say, three-quarters of an inch or almost three-quarters of an inch thick, so not really thin, as they often are in the supermarket. They had a nice little fatty edge. They weren't trimmed to the, you know, down to the lean. And they were a package of four, almost 2 pounds, cost less than $4. This is amazing, right?
Wow.
I think it was $1.79 a pound. And then a few weeks ago, a rib and pork loin caught my eye, and that was for 2.5 pound roast. It was $5. So I thought, well, you know, can't go wrong with that. And I'll tell you my favorite ways to do these things. Now, the bargain of all bargain pork is variously called pork shoulder, pork butt, Boston butt. There's a whole lot of names, and there are at least two. That I know of, two muscles in this big thing called a pork shoulder. And that can be as inexpensive as 99 cents a pound. Now, I also have seen it in fancy stores for $7 a pound, but even in a fancy store, $7 a pound, a steak is $24 a pound. So it's still in that milieu. A real buy, but in most supermarkets they every once in a while have a big sale on a pork shoulder. A very funny, or at least cute story. This is several years ago. I was at Momofuku, which is the David Chang original restaurant, and you sit at communal tables or at the bar. It's very informal, and the big deal, there's a lot of big deal items at David Chang, but in back then, the big deal item was this pork shoulder or pork butt because it served six people, and you had to order a whole one, and you couldn't get a reservation unless you ordered this pork butt for $200. So, but it feeds six people very generously. So it's like not insane in a restaurant, in a David Chang, you know, famous chef restaurant. In any case, I was seated with two couples from Westchester, and we had a nice conversation. I was convinced by our food talk that one of the men was a really good cook. He talked up I'm a really good cook. And we ended up at the end of the meal, both of us waiting for the restroom. So we were still chatting, and we spied one of these pork shoulders on a table. In the back, they had tables for six. In the front, you were at communal seating. And I said, they charged $200 for that pork roast here, and I saw it in my supermarket the other day for 99 cents a pound. So it would cost about $10 for that whole, the meat for that whole thing. And he said, well, I live in Westchester. It was $1.49 a pound. So even so. Anyway, I cook that cut of meat, by the way, a couple different ways. I mean, I don't make it that often because I don't often have that many people to feed. And truly, I don't like it left over for more than a day or two. But you can make great, I must say, you can make great shredded barbecue. Pulled pork with that. In fact, that's probably the best thing to do. So the first time I made this, I followed a recipe, believe it or not, from Suzanne Summers. What was her TV show?
Three's Company,
right. But at that period, which has to be over 20 years ago, she was big on what we now call the paleo diet. Or, you know, these diets are all the same.
Yeah.
All protein and fat, you know, Atkins, he didn't start it either. When I was a boy, there was a doctor in Brooklyn who became internationally famous, Stillman, Dr. Stillman. I think that was his diet, too. It was basically protein and fat, and you're allowed a little salad or greens. Suzanne Summers wrote a whole book about a diet similar to this. I'm not sure what she called it. She probably called it the Suzanne Summers diet. And this pork roast was on the diet. It became a popular recipe because she called it the 12 to 18-hour pork roast. And indeed, you have to cook this minimum 12 hours. I put it in my oven and was very distressed when I woke up. I put it in late at night, figuring it's going to be done in the morning. But when I woke up, the oven was off. That was very distressing. I thought, oh, my God, what happened here? And it could be spoiled. Ends up, I had a security thing on my oven. And after 12 hours of being on, it shuts off automatically. So if you want to do this roast or cook anything for that long, check your instruction book on your oven.
What temperature did you cook
it? My current oven, by the way, has what's called a Sabbath function.
Right.
Meaning it could stay on forever because Sabbath-observing Jews do not turn the oven on or off from Friday evening until Saturday evening. So if you want to keep food hot, you have to have an override for your safety feature.
Now, what temperature did you cook the pork at for 12 hours?
So this is it. I usually cook it at I started out at a very high temperature, but for 12 to 18 hours, I cook it at 250. If you do it at 275, no more than 275, 12 hours is probably enough. But here's the deal. It's the seasoning as well and the way you prepare it. So you have to score the skin. Meaning, with a knife, cut through a diamond design, or even just in one direction is okay, too.
Make it look like a ham. Make it look like a ham.
Exactly.
Yeah, your chicharrones, boys and girls.
And pork rind. Just through the skin, by the way. Yeah. Pardon me?
One of the best things I ever had 55 years ago was landing in Puerto Rico going to visit...
Pernil!
Yeah, but chicharrones, you know, there was this.
Yeah, of course.
Oh my goodness! And that was the beginning of a conversion, and literally.
Well, you're gonna get it. You're gonna get them with this one. Okay.
Okay.
So you score it, Here's my well, it's actually Suzanne Summers seasoning mixture, and I always have a lot of fennel seed around because I grew it for a while.
So I don't and you never time. Run out.
So, well, I will run out if I make this recipe more than a couple times a year. I'll run out. So you use a third of a cup of fennel seed. That ends up being a small jar, a 1.6 ounce jar of fennel seed. If you have to go out and buy it, at least a dozen cloves of garlic. You could do the whole head of garlic. 2 rounded teaspoons of salt. And then Suzanne calls for chili arbol, for spice, which I never have. So I put in like a teaspoon of my wonderful Calabrian chili flakes. And a couple tablespoons or more of olive oil. You put this all in. I like to do this in a mortar and pestle. You got to grind up these fennel seed, and I find the fennel seed don't grind up so easy unless you put them in a spice mill. I have a little old coffee mill that I use for spices, or in a mortar and pestle is great, and it's sort of fun. So you pound this all together, and you rub it into the meat. Getting it into the slits in the skin and also in the fat. So you're gonna cover the meat with this. It's a big piece of meat. If you buy a whole pork shoulder, it's going to be about 9 or 10 pounds. But this is to feed a lot of people. Anyway, you rub it all in, put it in a 450-degree oven. Now, you start it out really hot to get that chicharrone started. But then... and by the way, you should do this in the middle of the oven, not near the top of the oven, because you, in the end, your skin could burn if it's too close to the top of the oven. And let it cook at 450 for about a half an hour. Then reduce the heat to 250 degrees and baste the roast, with the juice of 2 lemons. This is important, by the way. I really think the lemon sort of makes it.
Yeah, it's going to cut through all this.
And then cook it for 12, pardon me?
I said it's going to cut through it.
It does. And by the way, you're going to baste it again.
Right.
So with lemon juice. In fact, about every half hour or so in the beginning, you can baste it with lemon juice, with 2 lemons. So you're going to use a lot of lemons, 6 lemons. And then, well, let's say after 10 hours, and then after 15 hours. If you're going that long. But in any case, you do want to baste it a few times with lemon juice. So, and that's it. And, the meat's going to be tender and falling off the bone probably in 12, 14, 15 hours. It depends on the size. It depends on stuff. But you can leave it in the turned-off oven if you want to serve it warm, which is a good temperature, not right out of the oven. You can keep it in the turn. I would cook it 12 hours, 13 hours, and then keep it in a turned-off oven for about 2 hours, and that's it. I mean, you can make a sauce, but not necessary. And to stay on Suzanne Summers' diet, she instructed you to eat this in lettuce leaves, make like little wraps.
Right. Now, which would actually
not a bad thing.
Quite
to do,
be delicious.
By the way. Yeah, it is delicious.
Not just for the diet, just for food, because there's some people just don't like. I'm one of them. I mean, there are some people who are sandwich people, and there are some people who just wrapped in a lettuce leaf is just it takes it to
another
level.
Well, I like
level.
Both.
Okay.
I can't say I don't like a good sandwich. In fact, I've been making good sandwiches lately because whatever. In any case, you can always serve this with some salsa, pico de gallo. Which you can also fold into your lettuce leaf. If you're not on a no-carb diet, you can actually put in some beans. This meat is very flavorful all on its own, but you can do pulled pork, and with leftovers, for sure. You can do pulled pork and mix it with some kind of barbecue sauce, even. It's really a good piece of meat. Moving on to other cuts, and by the way, sometimes the fat in a pork roast like this gets to me, and I really do want leaner meat.
Right.
Certainly for every day you want leaner meat. And I was present in the about 1980 or so when the pork growers of Iowa, and Iowa is the big pork state, when the pork producers of Iowa invited food editors to come learn about, quote, the new white meat. They had, through breeding and feeding programs, leaned up American pork to satisfy the pork, the fat phobia of the day. And it remains with us, of course. 40 years later, we still have very lean pork. However, a lot of people, chefs in particular, now have a buying pork that is not factory pork. I hate using that expression, but it's, let's call it high production pork. And they buy, you know, they buy better quality from better breeds that have more fat, that have some marbled meat. So there's a lot of different pork out there. And I see a lot of, by the way, besides that pork, I have my own, I tried to do a little research and find out why pork is particularly cheap right now.
I just want to, yeah, and also I'm impressed, but the pork that I'm finding isn't even close to either the quality or the cost that you are. So I'm just really impressed by that.
I don't know, and I live in an expensive zone.
I understand,
here.
But I
yeah, but I'm finding. Listen, I
heard.
You can get a. I bought a rib end pork loin roast, $5 for.
I know,
whatever,
and I would say
2.5 pounds.
I would say $3-4 a pound more.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I must say there are. Maybe you're getting a much higher quality of pork.
No.
If I go to a store that's, you know, Berkshire pork or whatever the breed is.
That's the thing.
Is more expensive.
Yeah.
But anyway, I never cooked pork tenderloin until recently because, for me, it was too lean. It was, you know what I mean? It just was like, it might as well be chicken breast. But, in fact, I got this recipe for a Chinese marinade for pork tenderloin, and I love it. And it is a very lean piece of meat, but if you know how to cook a pork tenderloin, it's still very juicy and delicious. And, well, of course, with this marinade, it's very delicious. But no matter what you do, meaning seasoning-wise, and you could just do salt, pepper, and, I don't know, you know, paprika. And the thing is, I put this piece of meat, and most of them weigh about a pound. If you have one, sometimes they weigh a little more than a pound. And by the way, this is the filet mignon of the pig. This is the most tender piece of meat and leanest piece of meat on the entire animal. You put it on a rack in a 450-degree oven, well preheated oven, for 20 to 25 minutes. 20 minutes for 1 pound, 25 minutes if it's a little bit more than a pound. And, you know, whatever you're buying, the first time you cook it, you're going to have to sort of guess. But pork does not need to be white all the way through. You can have a bit of pink in the middle. It's okay. There hasn't been any trichinosis outbreak in America in 25, 30 years.
No, we're working on measles.
Maybe even more. And the only people who get trichinosis are people who are eating homegrown pork, mostly South Asian people. I don't mean South Asian people, Southeast Asian people. Got to be careful these days with the Asian thing.
Right.
In any case, Southeast Asian, Thais, whatever, the Vietnamese people, in some parts of the country, I don't think any place we buy meat from, but they don't sell that meat. That's homegrown meat for themselves. And there's a problem there. But other than that, there's no problem. And a little bit of pink means a little bit of juicy. So this is the marinade that I use. I use a good 4 inches of ginger root, nice thick piece of ginger root, peeled, cut into chunks. I make the marinade in my little mini processor. 2 large cloves of garlic, 1/2 cup of soy sauce. I like regular soy sauce, but you can use light soy sauce. A third of a cup of vegetable oil, neutral oil like canola, corn oil, peanut oil, whatever you use at home. A quarter of a cup of... By the way, I keep all these ingredients in the house these days because I make this, you know, often enough to keep the ingredients in the house. A quarter of a cup of hoisin sauce, a quarter of a cup of sesame oil, you know, the toasted Asian sesame oil, which gives it a really distinctive flavor, and a quarter of a cup of rice wine vinegar. Now, when you buy rice wine vinegar, be careful to buy the unseasoned rice wine vinegar. A lot of rice wine vinegar is pre-seasoned. I'm not sure what, for sushi making, for sushi rice, I guess. Anyway, and some cayenne pepper. It depends on how hot you like it. I don't like it too hot, so a quarter of a teaspoon, no more than a half teaspoon, I don't think. You put all those ingredients into your little mini processor and whirl it up. Scrape down the bowl after you've done the ginger and garlic, and then add everything else and make a little smooth marinade. And put your piece of meat, or actually this is enough for two pieces of meat, two tenderloins, in a non-reactive bowl, or actually you can put it in a plastic bag and put the marinade in and let it marinate anywhere from a few hours to overnight. And then, as I said, you put it in a 450-degree oven for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then let it rest for a couple minutes before you slice it up. By the way, this meat is good at room temperature. I often make more than one just so we have it for the next day. It's great in sandwiches. It's lean meat. You can make a salad and top it with this meat. And I also use it to make fried rice, unless I get to the Chinese roast shop and buy real char siu. By the way, it's funny, when I was doing the research this morning to see if I could find out why pork prices were low, at least here they are low, there was a lot of talk about the high demand for pork belly, parentheses, bacon, but also I see even in the supermarket they're selling raw pork belly these days. Never did that when I was, even just a few years ago. And then there's, of course, there's a whole big cases full of bacon these days, all kinds of bacon cut every which way, smoked this way and that. And then char siu. I thought that was funny. There's a big demand for char siu. Now, char siu to me is red roasted pork Chinese style. But in fact, when you go to a ramen restaurant, they almost always, the ramen is topped with what the Japanese call char siu and is not red roasted pork. And I think it might actually be, and it's fatty. So it may be a kind of pork belly rolled up. Anyway, whatever. I think it's possible that that's what's driving the pork market is char siu and bacon. And then what do you do with all the other meat? Now you're paying premium price for pork belly. And people eat pork. It's very funny, I think, because young people who all like to think they're eating healthy or certainly healthier than their parents did also eat an inordinate number of hamburgers and fatty pork.
Yeah, and so. There's just, it's interesting, but I just found something. The sodium content, the fat content in these hamburgers and so forth has gone up so much since you and I were eating them. I mean, it's just, you know, over the last 10 years, it's just...
Well, this is not to say that I don't go out for a hamburger from time to time.
I understand. It's just...
I live with somebody who loves going out for a hamburger.
Yeah.
But I'm against it myself. I make great hamburgers. Okay. I don't need to go out for a hamburger. And even at $6 a pound for good ground beef,
It's
still
cheaper.
Only $3 a person for the hamburger as opposed to $15 in a restaurant.
And
I don't make French fries.
But when you
I gotta say right off, I don't
no
fry.
So quick
potatoes.
Question. What do you like for your perfect hamburger? What ground beef do you like?
My perfect hamburger these days is I grind the meat myself.
Exactly. And what
I buy a chuck roast at Costco. They have beautiful fatty enough chuck roasts at Costco. There are two to a package, which is way too much meat for me. But I freeze one, and I cook one. And the one that I freeze is the one that I will eventually grind up into hamburger. And that's it. I have a grinder attachment to my mixer. It takes 2 minutes to pull it out and grind the meat. It's not a big deal. And it really is delicious meat. I'm very disappointed by anything I buy in the supermarket, but if I'm at my butcher, I'll tell him to give me ground beef, and he chooses what it is.
Right.
But I make sure to say, and not too lean. I want 20% fat, or 15% fat anyway. But I have to say, freshly ground chuck from a, you know, is there's nothing like it. Although, you know, people put in fancy cuts of meat these days restaurants, but, we have this, that, and the other thing. I must say, if somebody gave me some Wagyu, I would like a hamburger with Wagyu. It's nice and fatty.
Okay.
Well, you know what I do with my chuck roast? I make it, and I make it so tender that I slice it incredibly thin, and I put it in pouches, the airtight pouches, and I can bring it out. I can put it in a pan of warm water, and 6 minutes you have the best, like pot roast sandwich in the world. It's unbelievable.
Well, invite me.
I'll send you where I live here. I'll tell you when I do it. Hell with grinding it up. I just like it.
So
nice,
yeah.
And tender.
I'm even using pork in my meatballs these days. I do half pork, half beef, and which brings me to I made a big batch the other day, and I froze a lot of them. So today we're having frozen. They'll be fine.
Right.
I'm going to experiment with the cooking, though. I'll tell you next week. Also, I want to do a little extension of my tomato program last week, because I have more to say about tomatoes.
All right.
We'll speak to you next
week.
It's
the winter. Winter's in the, tomatoes in the winter. All so right. Everybody have a – it's going to all melt any minute. March.
I hope so.
In Italian, they say marzo e pazzo. March is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
And it is.
All right, Arthur.
Okay, kids.
Lots
have a great week.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio. And, of course, once he's done with his show like he is now, you can hear his show online at robinhoodradio.com on demand. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.